Today's shiur is Masechet Bava Kama, Daf Pei Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Pei Beis, Amud Beis, on the bottom line. We had learnt in the Mishnah, and then we had learnt yesterday in the Gemara, the reason that Chazal said that Chochmas Yivonis, one is now I'll learn Greek wisdom. Frek the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Chochmas Yivonis Miyasira, is Chochmas Yivonis indeed also to be learnt? For Tanya, we learnt in a Braitha, Amar Rebbe, Be'eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael, Losh and Tzur Silama. He would tell the people who lived in Eretz Yisrael, why are you speaking the language of Sursi, which is a dialect of Aramaic? Losh HaKadosh, either speak Losh HaKadosh, or Losh Yivonis, or speak Losh Yivonis. Similarly, from Rabbi Yossi, Bavel, Loshna Rami Lama. He would tell the people living in Bavel, why are you speaking Aramaic? I Loshna Kodesh. Either speak Loshna Kodesh, I Loshna Parsi, or speak Persian. And as the Mepharshim explained, given that Eretz Yisrael was closer to Greece, so that's why in Eretz Yisrael they were allowed to speak Loshna Yivonis. Given that Bavel is close to Pras, that's why they were allowed to speak Persian in Bavel. Or another pshat, Eretz Yisrael was under the control of the Yevonim, and that's why they were told, you're allowed to speak Yevonis in Eretz Yisrael. Bavel was under the control of Pras, of the Persians, and that's why they were allowed to speak Pras, Parsi, in Bavel. But from here we see that they're allowed to speak Yevonis. Yet our Mishnah and Gemara have been teaching us that it's Osir. Answers the Gemara, Amro, Losh Yivani Luchud, Losh Chachma Yivaris Luchud. There are two separate things. There's the language and there's the wisdom. The language is permitted. The Chachma is Osir. And as the Mepharshim explained, what the language represents that the way that the youth speak in some sort of a code, in certain type of words, doesn't necessarily represent something that seriously bad. On the other hand, the chachma, the wisdom, the philosophy, which of course entails apikorsis, that is particularly awesome. Ask the Gemara, the chachma Yivonis miyasira, is the chachma of Yivonis asur? V'amar Rav Yehuda mishmu mishum Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Eini, the pasuk says in Eicha, Eini oilu l'nafshi, my eyes are repulsive to me, mikovnais iri, for what happened to my family. And he said, El filodim hayves abba, there were 1,000 young men in my family, chamesh meis mehem lomdu Torah, 500 of them learned Torah, chamesh mehem lomdu chokmas yivonis, and 500 of them learned Yivonis, v'loy mishtay mehem, and no one was left over from the family, ela nikan, I here, uben achi abba, I have a cousin, ba'asya. Asya is Asia Minor, which is Turkey. So we see that they were from the family of Ragamliel, and they learned Yivonis. So some of Mepharshim suggest, so obviously Chochmas Yivonis is mutter to learn. So some Mepharshim want to suggest that who said that what they did was permissible? Maybe they weren't acting appropriately. So one Torah says, as we see, this is from the family of Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi. To suggest that his family acted inappropriately is incorrect. Another pshat is that we see that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is saying, I'm particularly mourning these people that were killed in the Churban. If these people weren't acting anyway so appropriately, so why would he specifically cry over their loss? It must be that they were great people, and yet we see that from amongst these great people they learned the Chochmas Yivonis. Answers the Gemara, Amri, Shani Beis Rabbi Gamliel, we can't bring a raya from the family of Rabbi Gamliel. The Shaykhrav and Malchus, they came into close contact with the government, and there are a number of pshatim. One pshat is, so they had to be able to speak the same language as the government officials, so they could properly communicate with them. Another pshat is that they had to be familiar with what those people were familiar, again, along the same lines, so that they could have intelligent, meaningful conversations with these individuals. And yet a third pshat, an interesting pshat, Krivim l'malchus does not mean that they were close to the government. Krivim l'malchus means they were karev to malchus shemayim. They were close to Hashem. And as we've been explaining, in learning the Chochmas Yevonos, one exposes himself to philosophies that are not correct. But if somebody had already learned Torah, Shas, and Paiskim, he is a Yorei Shemayim. The concern is a lot less. Shani Beisar Gamliel, why were the family members of Rabbi Gamliel allowed to learn Chochmas Yevonos? Shekrov l'Malchus, they were close to Malchus Shemayim, and we have much less of a concern with these individuals that they will get adversely affected from learning these subjects. Ukritanya, and as indeed we learned, Hamasapa Kumi, somebody cuts his hair in the Kumi style, Hareza Medakia Amari. And as the pasuk says, we can't follow the ways of the goyim. However, says the Gemara, Tumas bar Ruvain, Hitir lo sapakume, Taftos bar Rumi, they allowed him to take this haircut. Why? Neshukar l'malchus. He came into contact with the members of the government, so he had to look like them. Similarly, Shavesu Gamliel, Hitir lo sapak b'chokhma yivonis, Neshukar l'malchus. It's interesting to note that the machloikus rishonim of this Isra B'chukseim Lo'Yisleichu, which Al Gemara says includes one dressing and looking like the Akum, is the Isra D'Raisa or Isra D'Rabbanan, Chloikus Rishonim. And in fact, when Farshim asked, according to the opinion that it's Osam D'Raisa, so how, because of these, for these individuals, was there a dispensation if it's an Isra D'Raisa? So some want to suggest, like by all mitzvahs, since having these relations with the government is a question of sakonas nefashos, hatzolos Yisrael, it's permitted, it's therefore permitted for them to be over the Issa deraisa. However, other mefarshim say that even according to the opinion that it's an Issa deraisa, we don't find that the Torah explicitly says what is and what is not included in the lav of B'chukusayim Lo'Yisaleichu. Rather, the Torah left it up to Chazal to make that determination, what is and what isn't osur. And along with what the Torah gave Chazal the authority to decide, Chazal also have the right to decide that for this individual who needs to come into contact with the government, there is no problem in him dressing or talking and being over B'chukseim Lo'Yisaleichum. The Sri De Eish says that when we speak about B'chukseim Lo'Yisaleichum, there's a machloikis. Does that mean specifically the Zion Umais, the seven nations of Eretz Yisrael, or does it mean all goyim? And of course, the question is, how far do we apply the Isser of B'chukseim Lo'Yisaleichum? And the Mefarshim, the Rishonim already say that the Isra of B'chukseim Lo'Yisaleichu only applies when the person's goal is two points he makes. One is if he's trying to imitate and look like the Goyim, or if the Goyim wear or act or do something because it represents inappropriate behavior. So to act in a similar manner is obviously asur. So we learned in the Mishnah, Le'gada Adam es Akelef, a person may not raise a dog, Elam Kain Kosh B'shal Shalos, unless he's chained. Tan Rabbanan, Le'gada Adam es Akelef, a person may not raise a dog, Elam Kain Kosh B'shal Shalos, unless the dog is bound with a chain. Avam Gada Hubi Ir Asmuch L'Sfar, if he lives in a city near the border, and there he needs the protection of the dog, it's mutter. And under those circumstances, what he should do is, kosher b'yoyim, he should chain him by day, umatira b'layla, and then he could unchain him in the evening. Tanya, Rebbe Elazar Gadol Omer, hamgadol klovim, if somebody raises dog, it's kamgadol chazerim, it's like raising chazerim. Ask the Gemara l'may nafkamina, this is also, that's also. What does the Gemara mean to point out when it tells us that it's like raising chazerim? Answers the Gemara, l'mekel Allah b'orur, just like we learned in the at the end of the previous year, that not only is it prohibited to raise chazerim, but if somebody does raise chazerim, he is cursed. Similarly, the same thing applies by a dog. The Chazon Yecheskel indicates that there's a machloikis rishonim. What does the Gemara mean? The Mishnah, the Gemara, mean when it says lo yigad adam kelev. Many rishonim say that the Gemara here means to a kelev raw, a wild, dangerous dog, but a regular dog would not be usur. However, the Rambam seems to hold, says the Chazon Yecheskel, that all dogs are prohibited to be raised. Like God on the Kelev doesn't mean Kelev Ra, any Kelev. And again, the reason being not to come to raise a Kelev Ra. Continues the Gemara, Amrav Yosem B'Menuni, Amrav Nachman, Bavel, Kiras Muchla Svardami. Bavel is like a city that's on the border that we just learned in the previous Gemara. You're allowed to raise, you're allowed to have a dog chained or at night, not even chained, in such a city. Tergma, and it was explained where in Bavel is this being referred to the city of Nahada. So Mefarshim ask, what is the Gemara trying to prove by pointing out the city of Nahada? Of course, if the city of Nahada is on the border, and we learned in the previous Gemara that any city on the border, we have to be concerned, so we have to be concerned in Nahada. What does the Gemara mean to say? So I saw a very nice pshat. Actually, Nahada is not on the border. However, Nahada was a city in Bavel where many Jewish people lived, and it was a city that was surrounded by not many non-Jewish cities. And what the Gemara is teaching us is that even though here we have a situation of a city that's not border, that's not a border town, but still, since we are referring to a city where it's dangerous because of the neighbors that the city has, the halacha remains that one may raise a dog in such a city. Continues the Gemara. Darish Reb Destoy de Mimbiri. The pasuk says, Uvenucha Yoimer, when the Oren came to rest, Yoimer Yoimer Shuv Hashem Rivvais Alpha Yisrael. Lamdecha to teach us, She'ein Hashchina Shoira a Yisrael, that the Shechina doesn't rest amongst Klal Yisrael, if there's Pachis, Mishnei Alof, Mishnei Revovis. Less than 22,000 people. So Mepharshim asks, that we know that there are many Mishnayis, many Mamori Chazal, that speak about the Shechina being where there's a minion, where there's three people, where there are two people learning. So what is the Gemara here saying? That we need to have 22,000 people. So Mepharshim explained that there are different levels of the Shechina. And certainly the Shechina is where there's two people, three people, 10 people. But this very high level of Ashras HaShechina only exists when you have 22,000 people. What is the significance of the number 22,000? So I saw that we know the Gemara says, Elav Nechnosim Vechijoytzi. There are 1,000 people enter the Beis Medrash, and only one really exits as a great person. So if we have 22,000 people, and from each 1,000 individuals, only one person really emanates as a great individual. So we'll start with 22,000 people, we're left with 22. 22 corresponds to the 22 letters of the alabes, which the Torah is written. So we need to always have at least 22 great people. And in fact, that's pshat what it says in the pasuk, B'cha Yivarech Yisrael. B'cha is the gematria of 22. When there are b'cha, when there are 22 great people, Yivarech Yisrael is Klal Yisrael blessed. Therefore, says the Gemara, Chaser Achas, if there's one person missing. There's one person less than 22,000 people. And now you have a pregnant woman, and she, by having her child, will bring up the number to these 20 to the 22,000. And now, v'navach bakel v'ipila, a dog barks at her and she miscarries. Nim tzeh, this person who had this wild dog that caused Rachman Tzlon, this woman, to miscarry, zegarim l'shchinish tzadok Yisrael. And as Mefarshim point out, one cannot be chayiv mamon, be chayiv to pay for doing something like this, for having his dog bark at a woman, because it's not considered, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, a direct act of hezek, but certainly it has very serious ramifications in causing that the Shechina should not be amongst us. From here, the Paiskim want to say that even though we know that halachi is on Shabbos, one is not supposed to say Tehillim for an ill individual unless it's a chayla sheyesh by sakana, a woman who's pregnant to daven on her behalf, even though Baruch Hashem it's a Baruch Hashem fine pregnancy, should be mutter, because from here we see how important every child that's going to be born in Klal Yisrael is. Every child that's born brings the Shechina to us, and therefore we need to daven that it should be born healthy and well. In fact, some Paiskim say, and I only say this lahalocha, v'loy lemaisa, that it may be along the same lines, we could be more lenient in allowing Chil Shabbos for a pregnant woman, because it's so important to us that that child get born. Says the Gemara, there was a woman that entered a home to bake, and a dog barked at her. So the owner said to her, you don't have to worry about that dog, its teeth have been removed. So the woman said to him, what you did, that you took out its teeth, you could throw it to the thorns, because I wasn't aware that the teeth had been removed, and therefore when the dog barked at me, I got frightened and I already unfortunately miscarried the child. We learned in the Mishnah, ein parsim nizben liroinim, we now had to spread out nets to capture doves within 30 ris. 30 ris is 4 mil, 8,000 amma, within the closest settled area. Ask the Gemara, Umi Azli Kulihai, do the birds travel that far? But tonight we learned in the Mishnah, Machikin is a shavuch min ha'ir, 50 amma. We only have to remove the shavuch from the city 50 amma. So it's obvious that they don't travel more than 50 amma. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Meshit Shei Tetuva. They actually fly much further. However, Krusayu Bechamishim Amamalia. They eat, they fill themselves up within the first 50 amas. So therefore, if we distance the nest by 50 amas from where there's food, we don't have to be worried that the birds will eat food that doesn't belong to their owner. Which the Mefarshim say, some Mefarshim say doesn't really specifically involve a specific isser, but certainly inappropriate to allow or to create a situation that my birds will eat someone else's food. However, some Rishonim, the Ramban, want to suggest that there's an isser of mazik, of shame here, when a bird eats food that doesn't belong to its owner. Ask the Gemara, Umeshit Shloshim Ris V'Sulay, does the bird only fly 30 amma and no more? V'tanya, B'yishiv Afilu Me'a Amma La'yifris, in a cell, May Mil La'yifris, in a cell area shouldn't spread out nets to capture these birds, even within 100 mil. So we see that they fly 100 mil, much more than the 30 ris, which is only 4 mil that our Mishnah mentions. And it says, Rabbi Yosef Omar, B'yishiv Kramim. Here we're speaking in a place where there are vineyards, Rav Amar B'yishiv Shavchim, or with a lot of nest, and therefore when it flies from one vineyard to another vineyard, or from one nest to another nest, it could travel even greater distances. However, when there are no vineyards or nests, they don't fly more than the 4 mil that our Mishnah mentioned. ask the Gemara, if that's what that Gemara, Mishnah, Bryce is referring to, for tape claim, Mishnah Sheref Kum Gufayu, then we should be concerned that they'll to spread out the nest there, because maybe he'll take from a different nest. We learned that you have to be careful that you shouldn't create a situation that your bird will take from a different nest. Answers the Gemara, Ibais Ema, that the nest belonged to Avdi Kachavim. So the concern that this bird will take from another nest doesn't really exist, because it's a guy's nest. So Mepharshim all ask, obviously, how can we suggest that it's permissible to take from a guy's nest? You're not allowed to steal from a guy. So some of Farshim suggest that we're referring here to particularly lawless individuals, that from them you're allowed to steal. Another pshat is as follows. Actually, when we speak about this din in the Mishnah and the Gemara, we're not really referring to a situation that we explicitly are sending our birds to take somebody else's food, or that we even know for sure that will be happening. The whole din of the Mishnah and the Gemara is only a gzeira, a concern that it may happen. So by a Jew's nest, Chazal made such a gzeira. They did not make such a gzeira by Avdi Kachavim. Vibay Seyma, but the Hefker, where these nests are Hefker, and there's no concern if the food will be removed from them. Vibay Seyma, but these nests belong to him himself. So therefore, that those concerns don't exist, but the only concern is that if dove that doesn't belong to me will end up in my nest, and I will accidentally end up taking something that doesn't belong to me. Hadrulach Meruba, Hadrulach Meruba, Hadrulach Meruba. We begin now, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, Perek HaChoyvel. Perek HaChoyvel, as the name implies, refers to a situation where somebody does damage to someone else. And the Farshim actually point out that it seems that it would make perhaps more sense that the Perek that should follow Perek Meruba is actually Perek HaGoyz Leitzim, because the Perek Meruba spoke about situations of theft, so shouldn't have that been the following Perek? So I saw two answers in the Rishonim. One answer is that since when someone steals from someone else, it's likely that the victim is going to get angry, and because he's going to get angry, he's going to perhaps hit the ganef. So that's why the subject of a chayvel comes up. Another pshat that the Melech Shleimit points out is that many of the fines, the rules that apply to someone who is chayvel are knas, and we spent, Baruch Hashem, so much time learning in the previous perek the halacha of knas, dal v'hei, kefil. The main subjects of the previous perek are knas, and therefore it makes sense that we should continue learning halachas about knas. Even though Rav Chaim Briska points out that there's a difference between the knas of a chayvel versus all the other types of knas, because in the knas of the previous perek, it all begins because I took something that doesn't belong to me, and the nizik, the person something was stolen from him, lost something, and now we have to make it up. Here, it's a special din that the Torah established that one has to pay the different payments that we're going to learn in the Mishnah and the Gemara under all circumstances. But they're both, of course, under the category of knas. Says the Mishnah, HaChayvel b'chaveir, if somebody wounds somebody else, Chayvel b'shchamish dvarim, he has to pay five payments. And each one of the payments will be described in the Mishnah, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. B'nezak, the actual damage, Tsar is the pain, Ripui is for the healing, B'sheves u'b'boishes, Sheves and boishes. Says the Mishnah, Nezek Ketzad. How do we evaluate Nezek? Says the Gemara, Simes Enoi, if somebody blinded someone else, Katas Yadai, or he cut off his hand, Shibas Ragloi, broke his leg, Royan Isakula Evid Nimakibashuk, we evaluate as if this person was an Evid being sold, v'shamen kamu ha'yafa, and we evaluate how much he would be worth before he was wounded, v'kamu yafa, and how much he's worth now. Of course, the Rishonim point out what the Mishnah does not say we should do is evaluate how much would a person be willing to accept for payment, to accept upon himself to be wounded in this way, because there's no one that will be agreeable to take payment to be wounded that way, and there has to be some fairness in making this assessment. In fact, the Mefarshim say it's based on a halakha that we learned earlier in a Masechta. We learned the din was that if we are somebody damaged someone else's field, when we do the assessment, we assess it by not looking at the row alone that was damaged, but we evaluate it as part of a larger field, which will make it a much lower assessment. Here too, we don't just say how much would a person be willing to take to get damaged, because nobody would be willing to take almost anything to be hurt. Rather, the assessment is made, now that he was hurt, what is the depreciation and value as an eved? There's a machlokes rishonim. What type of eved is he assessed at? Rashi says he's assessed as an eved ivri. The Rosh takes exception with Rashi's opinion, because he says, by definition, an eved ivri is never an eved for more than 6 years at a maximum. Whereas this person who was injured is going to remain this way for life. And therefore the Rosh and many Rishonim suggest that when we speak about his evaluation, we evaluate him as an eved kanani. Others, in defense of Rashi, suggest that what we don't just evaluate him as an eved ivri that's going to be sold for 6 years, but we evaluate him as an eved ivri that will be sold for 6 years and then sold again every 6 years, but for the duration of his life. The Rosh also says that we have to take into consideration what profession this person does, and therefore if he has a highly skilled job, and because of this wound he will not be able to do that job anymore, that certainly, says the Rosh, and the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah quote the Rosh, is taken into consideration when making this evaluation. But the way the halacha is as follows. We only use that concept for the benefit of the victim, not to his detriment. So if the victim is a person that works with his hands, and now by Chas V'Shalom, unfortunately, having suffered this terrible wound, he will no longer be able to work with his hand. So of course that's taken into consideration when we make the assessment. But let's say we have a person who indeed works with his hands, and then the damage that he suffered, the wound that he suffered, the injury, was that his foot, Rachman Shalom, was cut off. So his foot being cut off will not necessarily impact his ability to do his job. So should we say that the nezek is not to be considered really significant, because what he could do really wasn't impacted? Of course the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah say we don't do that. We always, then we say, of course he was depreciated as an eved missing a leg, and that's taken into consideration. Tsar. How do we calculate tsar? Cover b'shvud or b'mismar, if he was burned with a spit or injured with a nail, v'afil al tzupernoi, makam she'enes ha'chabura, even if he was hurt on his fingernail where there isn't permanent damage, oimdim kama adam kiyotz v'zeroi tzalitol liyus mitzdar kach, how much would a person be willing to accept this type of pain? Again, as we will learn in the Gemara, nobody l'chatchila, most people chatchil will not accept pain. The Gemara is going to speak about that he's going to have this pain anyway. The only question is, what is a less painful manner, and that should be paid for. The Rishonim debate what is taken into consideration. Certainly, his ability or how delicate of an individual he is taken into consideration. But it's interesting to note that the Rambam also says we have to take into consideration if the person is wealthy or not, because obviously a wealthy person is less likely to accept pain or be able to say that I'll pay to avoid pain more than a poor person. Ripui, that healing, hiko, if he hurt him, chayv l'paisoy, he has to pay his doctor bills. And Rabbi Chanan Vasman, in the Kibbutz Shurim, and we're going to discuss this concept again in Mitzvah Shem, I hope, as we get deeper into the Perek, asks a fundamental question. When we speak about boishes, how is that to be viewed? Is it a financial obligation that a person who injures someone else has a financial obligation to pay what the doctor bills would be? Or is it the obligation of the person who did the damage to pay for that individual's doctor bills, but not that it's a financial obligation? And the nafkamina would be that if the victim dies, so then if it's a financial obligation, so he has to pay that financial obligation to the yorshim of the victim. If on the other hand it's only a obligation to make sure that this person is healed, then there wouldn't be such an obligation. Then if this person is dead, obviously he can no longer be healed and that obligation would no longer exist. Rabbi Chanan proves that the halach is that it's the chiv is not a financial chiv, but rather the chiv is that it's the obligation of the person who did the damage to see that his victim be healed, not that he has a specific monetary obligation. Says the Mishnah further, all about smachim, if sores developed on the victim, Rachman al-Tzlan. And of course the Yerushalmi points out that in making this evaluation of ripui, we also have to not only look at the doctor bills, but certain times a person who is hurt has to take a different diet, eat different foods that are maybe more expensive than the foods that he was used to eating, and that too the mazik will have to pay for. So if these sores developed on this person, in machlis hamaka, if they develop because of the wound, chayiv, then he has to pay for them. Shloi machlis hamaka, but if it's not because of the wound, potter. Chayiv v'nistra, the wound heals and comes back, chay l'tefaisai. He has to keep on paying for it. Chayiv kotzarcha, but once it's completely healed, then the halach is ein chayv l'paisai, he doesn't have to pay for it anymore. Sheves, what does loss of employment mean? Roy oisai, kilo shaymik shuim. We look at the victim as he's a cucumber watchman of a field of cucumbers, a fairly easy job. In other words, there's two stages. First, the person is permanently wounded and therefore may not be able to do what he was able to do previously. And then there's a second point. For that, he's paying nezek. And that is a second point that even at the initial stage, he's so sick that he can't do even the most minimal job. And he loses those wages. For the basic damage, he already paid nezek, d'mei yodav d'mei raglav. Boishes, when we speak about boishes, hakol afiyah mevayish v'mezbayish, we have to look at the person who did the boishes and the person who was mevayish. It seems from the Rishonim that the most serious situation of boishes is boishes that's done by a average income individual, a Beinoni. Because the boishes that's done by an important person is not considered that bad. And the boishes done by Ani, also, the boishes done by Beinoni is the most significant. Ask the Gemara, Amai, why are we saying that he only has to pay? Doesn't the Torah say, ayin tachas ayin amrachmana, and Amos, shouldn't we say what the Torah means, ayin mamish, that if somebody blinded someone else, he has to actually pay his eye, not has the perpetrator will lose his eye, not just pay. So now we begin the sugya, a fairly famous sugya that teaches us that ayin tachas ayin means mamon. It doesn't mean actually physically wounding the perpetrator, just collecting the value. So Mefarshim asks that why indeed, if that's what the Torah means, that it means kesef, so why did the Torah write ayin tachas ayin? The Torah should have written that you have to pay kesef. We avoid all the difficulty we're going to learn now in the Gemara of trying to interpret the pasuk. Says the Chazon Ish that the Torah is teaching us a tremendous lesson. The Torah is teaching us that if you are wounding, if somebody, chas v'shalom, wounds someone else, it's not to be taken lightly. Okay, somebody wounds somebody else, he has to pay for what he did. You should recognize that you did something very, very serious, and your eye, perhaps, should be removed to understand and drive home the point of how serious what this person did. There's also a very famous svar. Some attribute it to Shimshon Astropola, some attribute it to the Gra. Ayin, tachas ayin, if we look at the letters by ayin, tachas ayin, so every letter, the next letter after a ayin is a pei, and after a yud is a chof, and after nun is a samach, which is kesef. Ayin tachas ayin. If somebody takes the ayin, you give tachas ayin, you should give the letter after the word ayin, you only have to pay kesef, you don't remove the ay. Says the Gemara, lo yisakadatach. It doesn't, you shouldn't say that ayin tachas ayin means, should be taken literally. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, yochel simas enoi. If somebody blinded someone else, mesames enoi. We should blind his eye. Katas yodai. If it cut off somebody else's hand, mikateas yodai. His hand should be cut off. Shibas ragli. He broke someone else's foot. Mishabas ragli. We should break his foot. Tamalaymer. Maka odam or maka behema. The Torah compares maka odam to maka behema. Ma maka behema. If somebody wounds an animal, letashlumim. He has to pay monetary payment. Af maka adam, the din is letashlum, he only makes monetary payment. Vim nafshech loimer, if you question this, which we'll see soon what the braisa means, harei oimer, lesichu koif lenefesh v'tzeach asherosh olomus. Lenefesh v'tzeach, if somebody chas v'shalom murders someone else, there iatoloi koifer, you don't take payment, you don't take ransom, monetary payment. Avalotoloi keich, Kaifa, the Rosh Evarim Shirin Chayzrim, that if somebody damages some a limb, payment, even if they're not going to regenerate, payment is what should be taken. Ask the Gemara, Hai Maka, which Pasuk of Maka does the Pasuk mean? Does the Braisa mean? Ilema Maka Behemi Shamena, or Maka Adam Yumas? Says the Gemara, Hubik Talaksiv. That person is speaking about someone who's going, that killed someone else, and the murderer is to be killed, is to be killed. El Mahocha. The pasuk says, "Maka nefesh behem yishamena, nefesh tachas nefesh, v'samachlei." And Tosfos points out that even though the Gemara uses the word v'samachlei, the Gemara actually means to learn a gzeirah shava. V'ish ki itein mum b'misoy kasha osa ken yosaloi. Ask the Gemara, "Hai lav makahu." The next pasuk is not the second pasuk doesn't say the word maka. The pasuk says ish kiyite mum. So how are we learning gzeirah shava? Answers the Gemara hakar kaminyan. What the Gemara means is that we can learn gzeirah shava, and it doesn't necessarily require that we have the identical word. As long as the two psukim speak about the same issue, then it's enough to learn gzeirah shava. And therefore, we're learning gzeirah shava. Ma kara hamur b'behemot tashlumim. Just like by an animal, if somebody damages an animal, he makes a monetary payment. Af hakara hamur b'adam. If somebody injures someone else, l'tashlumim, he makes monetary payment. Ask the Gemara v'aksiv, v'ish kiyaka kol nefesh adam mois yumos. So it says, Mois Yumas, answers the Gemara, it means B'mamon. It doesn't mean that he should actually be killed, it means that he should have to pay for what he did. So the Mefarshim asks, it says Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, how are we explaining that Nefesh Tachas Nefesh means B'mamon? Explain the Mefarshim, that we know that the Gemara says that Oni Choshev Kemes, a poor person can be considered like a dead person. So if sometimes by taking the mammon from the perpetrator away, he'll be left as an ani, and he'll be considered like he's dead, and therefore he'll be maishumas. Ask the Gemara, memai b'mammon, but why are you not explaining the pasuk literally, eim b'misa mamish, maybe it indeed means misa? Says the Gemara, lo saka datach. Chada, number one, as we just learned, the iskish l'mak b'hem yishalmena. The Torah compares mak adam to mak b'hema. Vayik sibasrei kashi yite mun ba'adam ken yinosin bay. Yinosin is something that could be given. And given is mammon. Shmamin on mammon, it refers to a monetary payment. Ask the Gemara, the Braisa said, umay nafshach loymer. The Braisa made a limud that taught us that it means mammon, because we learned the Gzereshava, Mak Adam, and Mak Behema. But the Gemara said, Vimnafshach Loimer. Perhaps you could ask on that question. What is it? What is the question? Suka Kashlatana. Besides the question that the Gemara raised, the Tana had the following question. My houses, the Yafas from Mak Behema, why are we learning the Aloha when one person injures another person? From the Aloha from Mak Behema, perhaps Layla from Mak Adam, maybe we should learn the Aloha from Mak Adam. Amri, to this, the answer is, Donan Nezakim, mean Nezakim, we learn one situation where injury was done from another situation where it's just an issue of injury. Then Donan Nezakim and Miso, we don't learn a situation where there was damage done from where there was death. Adiraba, asked the Gemara, Donan Adam Adam, shouldn't it make more sense that we should learn the halacha or what happens by people versus Ein Donan Adam and Behemba from learning the, what happens by people from what happens by animals? Therefore, says the Gemara, Hanu Dektani, says the Gemara, that's exactly what the Braisa meant when it said, Im Nafshech Loimer, that you could ask on that question that you're comparing Mak Adam to Mak Behema, and therefore the Braisa says, a different pasuk, Hareu Oimer, Loisichu Kaif Lenefshir Tzeach, Asher Rosh Lomus Kemais Yomus, to teach us Lenefshir Tzeach, Yatalokeach Kaifer, you don't take Kaifer, you don't take ransom and monetary payment, by murder, about a lekeach kaifa l'rashi evarim shein chayisrim. Ask the Gemara, v'hai loisuk kaifa l'nefesh r'tzeach l'rashi evarim udasa, is it coming to teach us that if somebody damages the limbs of someone else, you don't physically punish him, you just take payment? Hamibayle, don't we need that pasuk to teach us the famous din, Dom Rachmana, Le Sav Beitarti, Le Sishkinei Mamim Sitkali, to teach us the din of Kimlei B'drabmanei, that we don't both give the person physical punishment and take a financial payment from him? Answers the Gemara, Hi, the din of Kimlei B'drabmanei, we learn from the words of Kdei Rishasin Nifka, to teach us, Risha Achas Mitat Mechaiva, we only take one punishment, Viat Mechaiva Shtei Rishuyus, we don't take two punishments. Ask the Gemara, but we need the pasuk to teach us another din, the kam rachmana, that the Torah is teaching us, leitishkel mamina, that don't take money. V'tiftere, if a person's mechuyev misa, you have to physically punish him, and you can't let him get away with just paying. Answers the Gemara, imkain, if that was the entire purpose of the pasuk, licht of rachmana leisichu kaif lenefesh asher roash lamos lenefesh retzeich lamali. Why does the Torah add the words lenefesh ritzeach? Shmami not to teach us lenefesh ritzeach yatalekeach kaifer. You can't take kaifer in a situation of murder. Avalatalekeach kaifer. Money is taken in a situation l'rosh yevarim shenachayzrim when one does damage to someone else's limbs. Ask the Gemara. So now that we learned this pasuk, v'kim yachad iksiv leisichu kaifer makalamali, why do we need the gzeir shava? We could learn this limud that when you wound, injure someone else, payment is the way to go from the gzeir, from the pasuk alone. Answers the Gemara, Amri, imahai havamina. If we only had this limud, we would think iboy ain't a nosif. It's the choice. Machlokes Rishonim, whose choice? Some Rishonim say it's the choice of the victim. Another say it's the choice of the perpetrator to either give mammon or to have his eye removed. It's not open for discussion. There you have to, it's only payment. Here too, afmak adam l'tashlumim, that is the only option. Tanya, Rabbi Distoy ben Yehuda Oimer. The pasuk says ayin taklas ayin. It means mammon. At the oimer mammon doesn't mean that financial payment is made. Maybe it means that the eye of the perpetrator should be removed. Amrit. Says the Gemara, if that's what it means, what would be the din? The eye of one is large, and the eye of the other one is small. So how could I fulfill? So the Gemara continues, maybe indeed, if the eyes aren't in the same size, shaklam and minor, but in, so it will depend. If the victim and the perpetrator have the same type of eyes, then we'll take his eye. Otherwise, we'll take mammon. Says, well, that can't be. Because the Torah says, HaTorah Amra Mishpat Echad Yilachem, Mishpat Hashavel Kulchem. Such a situation should always be treated the same way. Amri says, my kosher. We don't, Nadigmar goes back to ask, what does the Braisa mean? What's the difference of size of the eye? Dilmash Nahira Shakamane. Nahira Rahman Nishkamane. The perpetrator caused Rahman al Tzlan that the victim should become blind. So the perpetrator should not become blind. And it doesn't really make a difference if they have similar size eyes, similar types eyes. The eyes is not the point. The blindness are the point. Dilai Temahachi, if you're not gonna say this, are you gonna say cotton sharks are godl? If a small person killed a large person, or Godel Shikharik is a cotton, or a large person killed a small person, are you also going to argue, Heichi Katen Linen Lei? That we don't kill the murderer? Of course we kill the murderer, even though he isn't the same as the victim. Hatar Amra, Mishpat Achashavel Chem, Mishpat Achashavel Kulchem, we treat them the same way. El Nisham Shaklmanei. The murderer caused this person to die. Therefore, the Sham Amrachman Nishkumanei. Says the Gemara Hachinami. Here too, Naharu Shakmanei. One can argue that the perpetrator caused the victim to become blind, and therefore Naharu Amrachman Nishkumanei, he should become blind. And therefore, this Braisa is not a proof that Ayin, Tachas Ayin, means that Mammon, even though that is indeed the halacha, as we proved and will continue to learn.